This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Hope your Friday is going well. There's a lot to get to, and we always appreciate the time of President of Baseball Operations for the Cubs, Theo Epstein. It's Waddle and Sylvie, and Theo joins us now. Theo, how you feeling today? Happy Friday.
I'm doing well. Happy Friday. Good to be with you guys. Sylvie, how you doing, man? I've been thinking about you.
I appreciate that, Theo, and I appreciate you reaching out early in this and thinking about me. You're fantastic. When to all that, it meant a lot. It meant a lot to my family. How is everything going with you guys right now? Do you think that we could pull this thing off?
Yeah, you know, it's actually going well. The vibe in our camp is great. I'm incredibly impressed with and proud of our players. They're bringing a great attitude to the park every day, discipline, thoughtfulness, sense of collaboration, and awareness of the world around them and the impact of their actions on each other and on the broader community as a whole. So it's been a nice little bubble in here for us. Obviously, it's there are stressors and there are anxieties, and we're dealing with things that you don't typically deal with in the course of a training camp. But it's gone about as well as we possibly could have imagined. Knock on wood, everyone has stayed safe and healthy, and we're getting our work in. So we're mindful that there's a lot more work to be done off the field to allow us to get work done on the field, and it's not going to be easy, and we haven't had to travel yet, and that there are forces beyond anyone's control. But as of now, it really is going well.
Theo, as you look to the 60-game schedule, is it something that you say, wow, this is a pain in the ass, or is it possibly in some ways an excitement to try and be creative and manage a baseball team or be the president of a baseball team in a situation that you could have never, ever predicted?
Yeah, you know, I think the attitude that we're all trying to take, not just with the schedule, but with everything that's different, which is just about everything in our personal lives and in our professional lives right now, is to embrace the difference and embrace the novelty and take it as an opportunity. Because if you look for things to complain about, whether it's the schedule or, the burden of, absurd administrative things or the protocols or the testing, you'll find things to complain about literally every 10 seconds. And that's not going to lead you anywhere productive. So the guys have done a great job, and I'm trying to follow their lead and staying really positive and seeing all the newness as an opportunity. We hope that all of us hope we're never going to be in this situation again. Let's try to make something great of it. So the schedule is part of that. Realistically, we knew we weren't going to play that many more than 60 games. Maybe we could have squeezed a few more in there, but that's not the way it turned out. But it's a great opportunity to try to get off to a hot start, ride some momentum, ride the emotion of, this type of schedule and turn it into something wonderful.
You know, when you look at the season, we've debated on the show, Theo, do general managers, presidents like you, do you go for it as much as any other year? So I guess the best way to ask this is a 60-game season this year equal in your mind to a normal 162-game season?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't speak for everybody else, but there is kind of a consensus brewing in our camp that when we were contemplating this type of arrangement and when we were getting ready to report and making all the arrangements, I think if you ask the typical member of the Cubs organization, whether it was player or front office, there would have been some skepticism about is this legitimate? Is the World Series champion going to be as special? Will championship be as meaningful this year as it's been in the past? And then now that we're here and we're seeing just how much hard work and teamwork and discipline and care goes into pulling this off and just having a chance to compete, let alone to prosper and thrive and ultimately win, I think we all feel like maybe the trophy should be even bigger this year because, you know, the team that can withstand all this, you know, first of all, it won't just be 26 guys or 30 guys. It'll be, you know, the whole community, the whole organization, and really the whole community around them and the hard work of everyone across the industry, allowing the game to go on. But it's going to take a lot extra to compete and to prosper at a high level this year. So, yeah, I think it's very legitimate despite some of the differences.
Do you like the makeup of your team and how you're positioned for a 60-game sprint?
Yeah, I do. It's not the type of issue where you want to get too overly analytical and you know, you could talk about things like, you know, maybe one of our weaknesses is starting pitching depth and hopefully that's less likely to show up 60 or 162. But I think really it's about the feel of the team, the vibe of the team, the motivation of the team, how invested they are in each other, how invested they are in being here, how invested they are in the leadership and their manager, and how invested they are in winning. And, you know, this group, it's been off the charts so far. Obviously, we haven't faced, you know, the typical baseball adversity yet. That always comes around in the first week of the season. So it'll be important to see how we respond when things aren't going well. But we have faced some real-world adversity so far, everybody, just by showing up every day. And these guys really want to be here. They really want to win for each other, keep each other safe, and win at the same time. And they want to win for their first-year manager that they're really fond of. And, you know, I think there's a lot to prove after the last couple of years and you know, questioning a little bit of the identity of the group. And this is a golden opportunity to do that. And there's a feeling, you know, that things don't last forever. And you know, with what's going on in the world, that's just a great reminder of how ephemeral this is, you know, the ability to compete at a high level, the ability to play together, the ability to stay together as a group, regardless of, you know, the contract situations or windows or anything like that. Life is ephemeral. So it's important to seize the moment. Our guys are really, really eager to do that while obviously keeping one eye on, or, you know, first dealing with the issue of health and safety and then being cherishing the opportunity to compete and win.
Theo, a follow-up on your manager. Could this actually be a real positive with Rossi and the enthusiasm that he brings and just a different style in a sprint like this? Maybe this is a positive, you know, a significant positive on that front.
I think it is, you know, but honestly, look, I'm biased. And then also every organization, if you ask them, you know, is your manager sort of an asset in a situation like this, they would say yes, because it is an opportunity for leaders to come to the forefront. And there are a lot of talented managers around the game, all with different styles who are leading, I'm sure, effectively right now based on, you know, what I'm hearing from other camps. But I'll just say this firsthand, you know, observing just our practices and our inter-squad games in an empty ballpark, you know, in hot, humid days in Chicago with everything going on off the field with some, you know, initial hiccups in the testing process that challenged everybody. It'd be real easy to have a going through the motions type of vibe on the field and to lack energy. And, you know, there's the manager in his just effortless way, providing energy and being really vocal and upbeat, but in an authentic way that really connects with players. And you just feel the energy level, the entire group rise to meet him. And so, yeah, I wouldn't want to imagine this without him right now. And I think, everyone around here feels really fortunate that he's here to lead this group and the connection that he has with these guys. It'd be tough on any first-year manager coming in from the outside, you know, to lead through this situation with a, you know, young but fairly veteran team at this point. And the respect they have for him allows him to lead the way that we need him to right now.
Theo Epstein joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. So you mentioned that you didn't want to get into like too analytically about starting pitching in the short season versus a long season. But do you believe, like, for the 60-game sprint, for us as the fan and for the game, that this could be really fun where the strategy is even ramped up more so than a regular season?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, first of all, it'll be fun because every team is in it. You know, over 162 games, a meritocracy tends to develop, and the best teams win. You know, a 90 win true talent level team is going to beat a 71 true talent level team 99 times out of 100. I think the numbers are over 162. A 71 team will actually outperform a 91 true talent level team close to 10% of the time over 60 games. So like literally every team is in it, from the worst team to the best team. And every game counts basically the equivalent of an entire series before. So yeah, there are going to be decisions on, you know, allocating your resources over the course of the season. You have to do it differently over 60 than over 162. You know, when you choose to use your best relievers, how you look at, you know, a 3-run lead, 1-run lead, 1-run deficit, 3-run deficit, when to play for tomorrow versus when to kind of preserve an opportunity to come back and play for today. All of that stuff is now seen through a different lens, you know, development versus winning now. It's all seen through a different lens because there's, you know, it's just an accelerated schedule. You get, you know, a team that gets off to, 15-10 start might be in pole position and looking to, you know, sort of go for it and put the hammer down. A team that's 10-15 might consider themselves out of it. And that's, you know, that's a swing of 5 games over the first 25 games of the season. So this underscores how different the strategy is going to be this year.
You happy to see the universal DH in place, and is it here to stay?
I think it's the right solution, you know, for this year. Is it here to stay? I don't know. Technically, it's an open question for 2021, and then something that will probably have a more permanent resolution with the new collective bargaining agreement. But you know, having experienced both leagues, I'm torn on it. I'm consider myself a traditionalist and really like the National League style of play, but it's also extremely frustrating when pitchers get hurt swinging the bat or running the bases. And there's so much talent in this game, you know, that the DH spot allows you to squeeze an extra bat in there, and not having pitchers hit allows them to focus on what they do best. So I'm fine either way, but I think it's the right solution for this year, clearly, and perhaps going forward.
Waddle hates the runner on second in extra innings.
Because I'm a baseball traditionalist well.
Yeah. Well, Waddle, I'll tell you this. So, you know, I think most people around the game initially hated the idea when it was brought to the table a few years ago and then tried in the minor leagues. And I think nobody hated it more than, like, the traditional guys who in player development and in the minor leagues and minor league fans. And then once it went into effect, you know, we had skeptics and cynics all over the place. And once it went into effect in the minor leagues, everybody actually loved it, you know, from the fans to, you know, 30-year veteran and minor league managers to the players. It became something that added strategy, excitement, and efficiency to the game. So I'm not saying you're going to love it, but be prepared to be, you know, a little open-minded about it, maybe a little bit more into it than you think. And certainly for this year, it's a good way to try it, because you can justify it, because with the attrition these rosters are going to face and the travel restrictions that are designed to keep everybody safe, it's going to be really hard to survive, you know, a 15-inning game this year compared to most years.
Theo, you're always big into growing the game, and you've talked to us about being on the committee and balls not being put in play and you know, the mm-hmm. fans. You were a fan yourself, and I know this isn't your department. I know you have bigger fish to fry. But when we tell people, hey, Theo's coming on the air, they all tweet us and they say, ask him about Marquee. What do you believe? What do you hear? Will every Cub fan be able to watch your game in 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, when I talk to Chris, it's not my department. You know, we have so much going on with the team. But when I talk to Crane about it, he's really confident that there's going to be a deal. I mean, there's no secret that there's a tremendous appetite for any entertainment right now, given how much people are stuck in their homes, and especially sports, given the absence of sports from the landscape the last 4 months, and especially Cubs baseball around here. So it would sure be a shame if that appetite were not taken care of. But I think, look, there are proper incentives on all sides to get a deal done, and I'd be really, really surprised if Cubs fans can't just flip on a device one way or another and watch the Cubs play.
Theo, again, I know you're focused on this year, but as the president of the team, you always have an eye on the future as well. And I'm just interested, and I have the same question for all the professional sports, but baseball now is forefront. How different is the financial landscape going to look in the immediate future?
Yeah, you know, it's a very legitimate question. And like, you're probably equally as qualified to answer it as I am, because there's just conjecture out there. I mean, nobody knows if their revenues next year, under like a true best case scenario where, the country and the world develop a quicker solution to this pandemic than anticipated, and things can get relatively back to normal in the ballpark, you could be looking at close to full revenues, and then that's one answer. And then, if 2021 looks a lot like 2020, God forbid, then you're looking at a much different answer. And those are probably the poles, right? That those are the extremes, and the answer is probably going to be somewhere in the middle. So, these days you really can't even predict how things are going to look next week, let alone next year, let alone next, 5 years, and a new CBA, things of that nature. And then it can be, talking too much about money can be borderline disrespectful. When, the new currency of the game and of our society and of our country is health and safety and taking care of one another. And I think that deserves our focus. And let's hope we get back to normal sooner rather than later. And the currency can go back to being wins and losses. And then for those, and then obviously dollars and cents are part of that too. But for now, we're really focused on what's most important.
Right. Theo, when the George Floyd murder happened, you went out of your way to really go to the forefront of this around the Major League Baseball draft. What was the mindset for you to be as outspoken as you were?
That was not really an effort to go to the forefront. It was an attempt to say things that I feel needed to be said. And for me, talking about specifically about minority representation in front offices and how much we lag as an industry in that regard, and how much we lag here as an organization at the Cubs in that regard, it was something I wanted to point out and then take personal responsibility for it too. I think by calling myself out and, being secure enough really to talk about the reality that we all carry unconscious biases, whether we like it or not, and that very few of us are intentional enough about promoting diversity, equality, and inclusion when it comes to hiring and other decisions. That holds me accountable publicly going forward, which I think is important, and which we should all put ourselves in a position to be held accountable. And B, I think, just given the fact that some of the teams I've been with have had some success and whatnot, I think I knew they'd get out there a little bit, and it also might, who knows, it might cause some other executives in the game to also look inside and ponder their own potential unconscious biases and whether they're being intentional enough in their hiring practices and becoming part of the solution for diversity and inclusion and equality. And so I think both of those things are good. So I really saw no downside to speaking out, and except that words alone are not enough. And that, at this time that we're all looking inward and we're all listening and we're all learning, the time is certainly now to turn those words into actions. And that process is well underway, for me personally, and then here at the Cubs and in the industry. So this is an inflection point in history, and shame on shame on us if we don't take advantage of it and create more of a level playing field that everyone deserves. And I'll say this too. I think that, you know, we're spending every day talking about the coronavirus with the players and the importance of understanding that every individual's behavior has dramatic impacts on those around him. You know, the even words too, especially with the coronavirus behavior. You know, if you make bad decisions, if you're irresponsible, that doesn't just impact you. It impacts all your teammates and all their and their families and their careers. And in that regard, I think the two major topics surrounding in the country right now and surrounding the game right now, which is the coronavirus and social justice and systemic racism, they have that in common because as you think about the issue of racism in our society and in baseball, you know, an important first step is understanding how much one's own behaviors and attitudes and unconscious biases and words impact those impact one's teammates and impact the culture of an organization and whether every single person can feel as welcome as they should be walking the clubhouse doors or the front office doors on a given day. So, you know, we're already in this mindset of really enhancing our focus on and our awareness of the impact of our own actions, which I think is a great state to be in. It's how we grow as people and grow as a society. So I think trying to apply that not just to the coronavirus because it's an acute issue right in front of our face, but also to the issue of social justice and ending racism is a really productive place to be. And I think that's where we are as an organization right now.
Have you had the same conversation with the players about this message? Do you feel it's something that Rossi would talk about, that guys would talk about? Are you comfortable where your team is in discussing all these issues internally?
Yeah, we have. You know, it was a major topic the first day when we got back together. You know, I don't want to get into specifics because it's confidential and a club activity. But a number of us spoke up about the issue, and then there are follow up meetings that are taking place and that are scheduled to make sure that we provide the right opportunity for listening, for growth, for learning, and for developing that sense of awareness that's important to progress to real solutions.
Theo, just to reiterate, before we let you go, I know you said at the beginning that, look, you could find something to complain about every single day, but the current testing for the team is being held up today. Is that the case still?
No. It actually has resolved, and we were all negative. We tested negative. We're not negative. We're positive, but we tested negative again today. And no, it was just a hiccup where, you know, the nature of this testing is, yes, there were some hiccups with the shipping component of it early on, which is to be expected. You know, to go from you know, conducting zero tests of this nature to 17,000 a week, it's expected that there's going to be some growing pains. And MLB and the Players Association both, you know, took ownership of that and made some adjustments, and things are running a lot more smoothly now. You know, there's a timing element of the testing and an accuracy element of the testing, and sometimes it's hard to have both, right? If you're going to want instantaneous testing, the nature of those tests is they're just not quite as accurate. So, and also you may be taking resources away from those who need it elsewhere in society and are more on the front lines of you know, the most important elements of this fight right now. So the system that MLB developed, converting a PED lab in Utah into a very, very accurate coronavirus testing facility, has actually proved to be a really good solution. There were some hiccups with timing. It's being worked out today. We just, because of the accuracy involved, we had to wait on a couple tests a little bit longer. And so we decided to push our workout back, but everyone's getting in a better rhythm. The accuracy is second to none across the world with this testing, and that's really important because we're testing, you know, for safety. The testing is the bedrock of the protocols that are going to keep us safe. So it's rounding into shape. You know, there were people who were justifiably upset early because it wasn't perfect. And, you know, I think the MLB and the players have all worked together to try to get it right. And it seems like we're getting into a better rhythm with it right now, even though we had to push today back just a couple hours.
Theo, we appreciate it, as you know, your candor. We always enjoy the conversations. And again, I cannot tell you how much it meant to me for you to reach out to me via email and really a thoughtful email and to care about my fight. That means a lot. And all the best to you, your family, and the Cubs. Thank you.
Thank you, Theo.
You got it. Thanks, guys. You're a great example for all of us. Keep up the good fight. And you got all of Chicago sports behind you, buddy.
Thanks, Theo. There he is. Cubs president Theo Epstein.